Amen, amen. Well, you can be seated this morning. So glad to have you worshiping with us. And like I've already said, we are blessed today to not only have a great dynamic preacher, but we are grateful to have the director of Children's and Family Ministries from our district. Would you give it up for our greatest friend in the BCYD district, Pastor Jenny Caldwell?
Amazing. Amazing. Thank you, Pastor Jeremy. It's really actually quite an honor to stand. Yeah, bring all that stuff up. I'm the children's pastor. We got props this morning. It's an honor to share God's word this morning. It's an honor always to share God's word. It really is. And Pastor Jeremy and Pastor Holly have been dear friends of ours for so long, decades. And I want you to know that right here in this house, you have some really deeply caring pastors. Yeah. They work so hard. They love God. They love people. I also want to honor Zach and Megan this morning from Thailand, our global workers in Thailand. They are some of the finest leaders that we have in the Pentecostal Assemblies of Canada. And we honor them. Keep those mission dollars coming in, people. Keep those mission dollars coming in. Amen. And so today it's just an amazing day. And today we're going to talk a little bit about discipleship. And as we ordained Pastor Olivia and we honored her, she has been placed in this church to oversee the spiritual formation of this house, to focus on discipleship. That's her role. And her mandate is getting people in community to learn and to grow together, right? That's her mandate, to be discipled. And whether you're a child in this house, a teenager, a young adult just starting out, establishing what your priorities are going to be, whether you're a single parent raising kids or teenagers or a couple raising kids, or you're single or you're an empty nester or you're a grandparent, whatever stage you're in this place this morning, we are all called to live out kingdom culture, aren't we? We're all called to be discipled, to be spiritually formed. The Apostle Paul exhorts us in Romans 12:2, and he says, "Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of our minds." And it's actually quite easy to be conformed to the pattern of this world, as close as the phone in your pocket. And we live in an age where the culture of this world is just seeping into our lives in alarming ways. But we're called to be different, aren't we? Yeah. And if we're called to be different, we have to act differently. That's right. And if discipleship is the lifelong transformation of someone who decides to trust in Jesus for salvation and continue the ongoing work of sanctification in their life, then we are always in the process of discipleship, aren't we? So what is sanctification? When we're sanctified, when we're in the process of sanctification, we are freed from sin. We are becoming holy. Essentially, we are becoming more and more like Jesus. It's an ongoing process through our whole life that never stops. And we're all on this journey of transformation together because we are the church. And the mandate of the church is to grow and to go, right? To go into all the world and preach the gospel, making disciples. Our mandate, just in case you were wondering, it's not to create a safe place for our kids to hang out. No, it's to go. And there's risk involved. That's why Pastor Riley is taking these kids. There's work involved. Our mandate isn't to just have this tight-knit social group, like a Bible study with the same four people for the last 25 years. No, we're called to make disciples. It's about multiplication. And so today we need to lean in and ask ourselves this. Am I still in the discipleship process myself? And if so, what does that actually look like? Every year in January, I know lots of people make New Year's resolutions, but those first two or three, 4 weeks in January, this is when I just lean in, do a little bit more prayer and fasting, and I really have to ask myself, am I becoming more like Jesus, or am I stuck? Am I different than I was last year, last month, last week, yesterday? Why? Because the work of sanctification still needs to be happening in me. I have to ask myself, are there vices, are there things in my life that I struggled with 20 years ago that are I'm still struggling with? Or is there progress? I had to, like this year, I brought my life before God and I had to make changes on how I shaped my daily life, my habits, my attitudes, my spiritual disciplines, to see, you know, because I needed to see growth. Because God has a mandate on my life to go and make disciples. And so we all need to have those moments where we pause, where we take a moment to do inventory on our own walk with God. Are you stuck? Or are you growing more and more like Jesus? Can you actually point to the changes that he's made in your life, or are you just maintaining? Is the Holy Spirit speaking to you on a daily basis? Like if you were grumpy last year, are you still grumpy this year? If you're struggling with bitterness, are you still bitter? Or have you brought that before Jesus? Is there transformation in your life? And for those of you who lead in your home, how is your family doing in the discipleship process? How is your spouse doing in the discipleship process? And so today I've come and I want to do a little wellness check because we're all called to make disciples. So I brought this little tent here. And let's just say this tent represents your family. In this tent, there's a whole lot of things that make up your life. And I know it's different for all of us. Things that have to get done, things that happen in a typical family, things that are non-negotiable and some things that are negotiable. So let's talk about a few of those things. Most of you have jobs, probably in this place. You're putting like maybe 40 plus hours. You gotta do your job, right? And let me just see what else we have in here. I'll just get all this stuff unpacked here. Like, you have jobs, you have family. Some of you are married in this place. There's a picture of me and Mark. Look at that. Isn't that cute? You know, so I got to spend time focusing on my marriage. I have to feed my family. How many of you spend a lot of time feeding your family? You've got to feed your family. Of course, we got to go grocery shopping. It's literally my least favorite task to do is go grocery shopping. Week after week, buying the same things. And then, you know, you've got your finances that you got to take care of. Maybe your kids are in school or you're in school and you've got to help them. You've got so much homework. Maybe you have some extracurricular. How many of you spend so many hours in the family van dragging kids from activity to activity? Of course, there's cleaning the house. And then there's taking care of your health. There's so many things. And then, of course, there's like, maybe some of you actually exercise and go to the gym. That's, you know, I put that on the list, but don't get to that very often. And then there's the never-ending laundry pile. How many of you have like a room in your house that just looks like a bomb went off? And you got to do that. And then there's your relationship with God and your relationship with this church to serve this church. And then above all that, at some point, you have to sleep. There's so much. Like, there is so much. As you build your life, this is a big deal. It's a lot. No one's disputing it. And let me propose to you today that there's a lot of things in this tent that are important. Some are actually eternally important, because we're building for eternity, aren't we, folks? But some of these things aren't. And I want you to know that it's easier to determine what is important if we're grounded and devoted to our relationship with God first, right? And you know what? I know that we know it here. But in the overwhelmingness of all these things I've listed and probably so much more, in the distraction of the culture and the priorities of this world, oftentimes the priorities of the kingdom are lost. And for those of us who are raising children, your children are watching. You are either intentionally making disciples of Jesus or you're making disciples of this culture by default. Your priorities will become their priorities, I guarantee you. I guarantee you. And so today I want to look at the beginning of the book of Acts. And if you're new to the Bible, the book of Acts is just this amazing book, because it's the first 30 years of the history after Jesus, his death and resurrection and his ascension to heaven. And it joins what Jesus began to do and teach in the Gospels with what he continued to do and teach through his disciples, who are often referred to as his apostles. It's the establishment of the church. And if we're going to be a healthy church that's made up of healthy families, then I think going back to the start of the early church to look at the principles that guided them is an important step in how we guide ourselves and our own families and those we're discipling around us in those very same steps. So let me encourage you, if you haven't ever read the Bible, or if it's been a long time, reading the Gospels and the book of Acts is just an amazing first step in understanding who Jesus is and what we're called to do as his disciples. It's great to come to church and hear us preach on the word, but you need to be in the word. And so I don't have time to read through the whole first two chapters of Acts. So let me remind you what was happening, okay? First of all, it starts off with the risen Jesus giving one last instruction to his disciples. They're to wait in Jerusalem for the gift that was promised, which is the Holy Spirit. And he told them that when they received the Holy Spirit, they would receive power to be his witnesses. Pretty cool. And then Jesus does this like Star Trek thing and he like ascends up to heaven. And so they wait. They wait and they pray together for 10 days, not 10 minutes, not 1 hour. They pray together for 10 days and they're filled with the Spirit. And then the Spirit gives them boldness. And in the verses to follow, Peter, the same disciple that a few weeks earlier denied Jesus 3 times, gets up and preaches his first sermon, which was an incredible sermon. The Bible says that it cuts to the hearts of the listeners, and 3,000 people get saved. It's pretty amazing. Sometimes we like read that and we just skip it over, but wow, I have never preached a sermon where 3,000 people have gotten saved. Maybe one day, I don't know. So they repent and they're baptized, and now they're these followers of Jesus. And so now there's this huge fellowship of new believers, right? And this is where I really want to unpack the scripture, because this passage reveals the potential of individuals, the potential of families. When guided and empowered by the Holy Spirit, we have this same potential because we too have access to the same Holy Spirit. Good. So we're going to open up to Acts 2, 42 to 47, and I want you to really listen to the language used here. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe at the many wonders and signs performed by the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common. They sold property and possessions to give to anyone who had need. Every day, they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. So this is what started happening after Jesus left the earth and God the Father sent the Holy Spirit. After this transformative power of the Holy Spirit shows up, there's this incredible coming together of new believers, people doing life together, right? People growing together. There was this radical movement that went on to transform families, the community, the city, and beyond, and ultimately the world as we know it. Because 11 guys decided to listen to Jesus, we're sitting here today. It's pretty cool. But can we pause this story for a moment? Because today in our Christian culture, we have more access to resources, discipleship tools, apps that help us read the word, pray. We have Christian schools, engaging curriculum. We have more information than ever at our fingertips. Yet something is missing in the discipleship process. Sometimes we're a mile long and an inch deep. What's missing? I believe, if we look at this scripture, I believe it might be the transformative power of relationships. They joined together to change the world. If this tent here represented a family in Jerusalem, in that time when the early church was forming, I submit to you that the stakes that grounded their families, the stakes that solidified their homes, their new relationship with Jesus and the Holy Spirit and the mission in the world were as follows, straight from the scripture this morning: a devotion to the apostles' teaching, which for us is the word of God, a devotion to prayer, a devotion to regularly meeting together in the temple, which is what we're doing here this morning, the church, and a devotion to each other that included the intimacy and sacredness of breaking bread, sharing meals together, sharing really everything. They literally helped everyone in need. Their discipleship was done together. They learned together, they prayed together, they met together, they grew in faith together, they staked their families together. Imagine if I could put up a tent for every single family in this place and stake that tent, all those tents together. Can you imagine this room with all those tents? We staked us together with those four things. Imagine what we could do in this place, in this city. And listen, I recognize that what was happening in history was this immediate, regular follow-up care of the first converts in the early church. Like, everyone was in complete awe of what was happening. There was this momentum, and there were miracles happening around them. There was this single-minded devotion to, like, and this overwhelming excitement of being together. It was essentially revival. It was like their relationships were being formed and solidified for the purpose of becoming more and more like Jesus. There was this coming together in community that ignited passion. And this is what's happening in our history today. There's a cultural shift where some or many are engaging in their faith quite irregularly, maybe weekly or biweekly, or sometimes they just show up monthly, versus this everyday faith. There is a sabotaging from media and educational systems and extracurricular activities that prey on the family calendar and drown us in busyness. The culture of the world is more of a priority than the kingdom culture. The word of God is not on our list of priorities. Prayer meetings are virtually empty. Christians are more consumeristic than devoted. People choose a church based on what they can get, not what they can give. Christians are so much more individualistic. There's not this shared life. People are lonely. And there's less and less hospitality happening in homes. And evangelism looks a bit more like an event than an overflow of our lives. Right? And I know there's momentum happening here at Bethel. I've been here a few times, yes, for sure. And we need to not just sustain that momentum, but deepen our faith and share it. How do we live this momentum after we leave here on a Sunday or an amazing event? How do we live it out Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday? Like the early church was experienced, adding to our number daily. Do you know that people can get saved on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday in your home or in a coffee shop? They don't have to come here to this altar to do it, right? We need a fresh encounter with the Holy Spirit. We need to build kingdom culture in our families and in our friend groups. And how are we going to do it? And I submit to you this morning, we do it just like the early church did, through the transformative power of relationships. How did Jesus do it? How did Jesus disciple people? What was his way? Through relationships, sure. Like, he had these big moments on the hillside, like the Sermon on the Mount, pretty epic. Yeah. But some of the most impactful work that Jesus did was done around a table or a campfire, right? And so I want to focus for a few minutes on this spiritual activity of sitting around a table and eating together as believers. I got to have a meal last night at Pastor Jeremy and Pastor Holly's house. It was a beautiful meal. And actually, I had lunch with them too. And both times, Pastor Jeremy prayed, and it was just such a meaningful, meaningful prayer. It wasn't just one of those, you know, rub-a-dub-dub, thanks for the grub, Lord. It was a meaningful prayer, right? And like, maybe some of you didn't consider that the act of eating together can be a profoundly spiritual activity. You know, and this kind of hospitality is a key theme in the book of Luke and Acts. And Jesus himself, like I said, he sat around the table. Like, I remember even in the restoration of Peter in like John 20:21 there, he made breakfast for his disciples, right? And you know what? He actually chooses a symbol to help his followers remember his work of redemption. And what is that symbol? a meal-type fellowship. We call it communion, the bread and the wine. But instead, you know what? Sometimes we just want to live these private lives without interference from others. It's a very individualistic age. And sometimes there's very little commitment to community. Like, even in our own individual families, like, are we sitting down and having a meal together, or are we rushing to the next thing or rushing through the drive-thru, or are we on our phones or watching TV during a dinner? Eating together can be more than feeding the flesh. It can feed the spirit. And listen, I want to tell you a story. My parents have lived in their home for over 55 years. It's a long time. And they've had friendships that have spanned those 55 years. And when I was preparing the sermon, the Holy Spirit led me to consider my own spiritual formation in that community. The table was a huge part of my upbringing. We had so many people around that old teak table. At 80 years old, my mother is still the most hospitable person I know. We had the church family, extended family. We had neighbors. We had Christians. We had non-Christians. We had so many people invited to our table. And we lived our lives in community, and it wasn't just my mother. I had this best friend growing up. Her name was Naomi Matthew. And her parents would often invite me over to their home, and my whole family at times too. And Mrs. Matthew was the best. She would set the dining room table. Like, she would put out, like, she made the best meals. Like, she was Martha Stewart, you know what I'm saying? And some of you maybe don't even know who Martha Stewart is. I don't know. That's I'm aging myself. But she always had this elevated experience. But what struck me most about these meals as a child was that when Mr. Matthew would pause in the most reverent way and give thanks, he had this really, really deep voice. And he would give thanks, but when he did, his voice would always quiver. His emotion came through when he prayed. And I sat there as a seven-year-old child thinking to myself, this man really loves Jesus. Dinner at the Matthews home was a spiritual activity for me. These people gained entrance into my life because I was invited to their table. And at that table, the Spirit of God showed up. What they taught me in the Word of God in Sunday school was lived out around that table. And you know what? I often call my mom. I'm 4,000 kilometers from home, but I often call my mom on my way home from work. I have a long commute, and ask her about her day. And so many times still, friends, Mrs. Matthew is sitting around her table. Mr. Matthew has gone on to be with Jesus. They're still eating together, breaking bread together, praying together after 50 plus years. Let me ask you in this place, whose lives are your children exposed to? Is there anyone with a depth of spirituality that awakens them to the person of Jesus? And are you doing that for someone else's kids? I know many of you probably have so many people around your table, but let me ask you, is it just a moment of feeding the flesh, or are you feeding the spirit? Is it just entertaining, or is it true hospitality? Is the Word of God ever cracked open or discussed? Is there prayer? Is there communion? You know, you don't just, like, community can happen other than in this place, right? Many of you have great relationship with friends and family, but is there a spiritual component to it? As I reflect on those memories from my childhood, it struck me that many of the people who invested in my life spiritually were my parents' friends around those tables. There was deep relationship inside the church and outside the church. Is that what's missing today? The transformative power of relationship, igniting spiritual growth. Do you leave this place and go home without ever engaging in relationships? Are we just a bunch of arbitrary people sitting in this room, or are we the family of God, church? Come on. You know, that's why Alpha works. Why? Because there's a meal. There's a table. There's a conversation that leads to spiritual formation. And we don't have to wait till there's a 12-week Alpha program. We can do this any day of the week. Think about the way of Jesus. He interacted with people, how he stopped where he was going, and he took time for people. His agenda seemed to be the need that was right in front of him. And of course, Jesus took 12 and they ate together. And the early church modeled the way of Jesus. Guys, and it worked. It worked. More lives were won to the kingdom out of relationship. More lives are discipled out of relationship. So let me ask you today, do you live your life in community? We need to be present with each other. We need to sometimes just stop the busyness and sit around tables with each other, include our children, engage, learn, laugh, cry, pray, tell stories. Be there for each other for the long haul, for 50 plus years. That's the church. That's the church. And you know what's going to happen in those moments? Friends, you will feel known and loved and special and seen. Do you know why I know that to be true? Because that's exactly how I felt and still feel in those settings as Pastor Jeremy prayed over me last night around the dinner table. So let me ask you, first of all, are you doing this for your own family? Is the table a sacred place? Let me encourage you guys, come home for dinner once in a while. Put on a nice tablecloth. Light a candle. Make your family's favorite meal and establish some household habits that include spiritual moments. Secondly, do you have someone in your life who is devoted to your discipleship process? Are you doing life with someone? Are you in a life group? Here we go, Liv. I'm helping you out here. Are you in a prayer group? Are you in a triad relationship? What I mean by that is it's like you, somebody else, and the Holy Spirit, and you're saying to each other, what's the Holy Spirit saying to you these days? Like, is that the way we talk? Are we talking about who's just won the last soccer match or what the weather is? I can't believe how windy it was last night and whatever. we were talking about the wind last night. Listen, or do we just come home, put the garage door down, and binge watch someone else's fake life on Netflix? Is that it? I know some of you do this incredibly well, and thank you. Continue to do this. And I know some of you are in a life group, and you're showing up for others, and you're serving alongside others. Let me ask you, are you doing this for someone who's new to the journey in this place? Maybe someone who's still seeking. Maybe it's your own child that's walked away from the Lord. Are you investing outside of these four walls? Who are you inviting to your table? Listen, I know. It's summer, guys. It's patio season. Like, this is the perfect time. Let's not always sit in rows. Let's sit in circles. And I pray deep relationship will form. Is it messy to step into people's lives? 100%. Yeah. Does it take vulnerability to allow others in? Absolutely. Will it be a sacrifice? Yes. Will you sometimes have to cook? Yes, you will. And like, guys, it's hot dog and hamburger season. Come on. Toss a pre-made salad. Get the guac and chips from Costco and call it a day, guys. So tasty. Will it take time? Will it take money? 100%. It's worth it. It's worth it for you, your kids, your grandkids, for the whole family. It's worth it for all of us. Think about how the early converts felt so supported. Think about what happened. The Bible says they ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. Is that what you want in this place? Then we have to do more than just gather on Sunday morning, amen?
That's right.
Amen? Some, you might not reach everybody, but you will reach some. You will reach some. So let me challenge you this morning in a few ways. First of all, when's the last time you had someone to your home for fellowship? It doesn't have to be a big thing either. My mom used to make toast and tea on Sunday nights after church. When's the last time you left church and asked someone to meet you for lunch or at your home or at the beach? Like, let's allow discipleship to happen. Let's allow community to happen. Listen, some of you are sitting in this place and you have served God for such a long time and you know the word. You love the word. You've studied the word. I am challenging you in this place to disciple others. maybe new to the faith, maybe seeking. I want you to tap Pastor Olivia on the shoulder and in the next few days or weeks and say, you know what? I can lead a life group. Because you can. Because you can. And some of you are like, oh, maybe I don't feel quite equipped to teach, but you could open your home. You could open your home. You could, maybe you make the best egg salad sandwiches, I don't know, or like an awesome charcuterie board, I don't know, but listen, Pastor Olivia has been placed in this position to equip the saints for the work of the ministry, not just to do the ministry for you. So we all got a part to play in this. And some of you need to reevaluate your life, the busyness of your life. You need to say, what am I going to subtract here? To be able to step into a community of believers on a weekly or biweekly basis. Like, we need to do life together. Listen, last year, Mark and I both stepped into the district office in a full-time capacity, which means we left our local church where we were pastoring. Sad. It was very sad for me. But I really feel like God has called me to this job in this season of my life. But the one thing I didn't leave behind, and I still do to this day, three things, but we'll go to two, is my life group. In my life group, there's 10 families, 19 adults, 23 children. And we still meet together. We have family dinners together. We meet sometimes just the women, sometimes just the men, sometimes the couples. These people are my people. These are the people God has called me to disciple. And I need them too. I need them to be there for me. And I meet also with some ladies early on Monday morning, tomorrow morning, to pray. Listen, could the band come up as I close this morning? I need those people. You need those people. We need to do this together. Let's return to this tent here for a moment. It looks pretty stable, eh? Nothing is happening right now that's going to cause this tent to crumble, right? It's not going to fall over. But I'm sure none of us are naive enough to believe that we go through life, sometimes there's storms. Sometimes there's trials, persecution. Sometimes there's difficulties. We've probably all been there. And this tent needs to be staked down. And in the book of Acts, the disciples were just a few verses away from their first trial, an arrest, a false prophet, infighting in the church, opposition with one of their own, actually being stoned, the authorities coming after the Christians, and they were dispersed all over the place. But they had staked down their tents with four stakes. The word of God, prayer, their faithfulness to the temple and coming together around a table, this beautiful spiritual act of growing together and sharing everything, the powerful transformation that brought them together. They staked their tents together. They didn't do it perfectly, but they did it, and the world was changed because of it. And here we are in Penticton, this beautiful community. And we need to evaluate our own discipleship process. Are we stuck? How is your tent staked this morning? Is your tent staked down with your paycheck or your retirement fund or your vacation plans or season tickets? Is it staked at all? Are you at risk this morning? And who is your tent staked to? Do you have accountability? Do you have spiritual mentors? Do you have friends that you do this faith journey with? Will you evaluate today how you do your life in community? Look around you. Who's lonely in this place? Maybe it's you. Will you reach out? Will you take that risk? Will you step into relationship? And let me remind you of what happened. They grew in their faith, and the Lord added to the number daily those were being saved. Amen? Can you stand with me all across this place? I want you to just take a moment to evaluate your own walk in community. You know, maybe you have a really good personal devotional time, prayer time, and you're disciplined in that way. But is there a time when you share it with others? Let me ask you. Is there a time when you share it with your family, with your kids? Or is that just Pastor Riley's job and Pastor Nadine's job? No, it's not. They're just here to support you and cheer you on, help you. Listen, friends, in this moment, I'm going to pray for you. And then I'm going to ask you to do something together. I'm going to ask you to find someone to pray with. And some of you, might that might be a little scary for you. But the Holy Spirit's here. And I want you to pray that we, the church, Bethel Church, would do this faith journey, this discipleship journey together. And some of you have a job to do. Some of you have a step that you got to take when you leave this place, and that is make an appointment with Pastor Olivia, our freshly ordained Reverend Olivia Fandrich. Right? Some of you have to take that step of, you know what, I'm going to do this. I can do this. I will do this. So let me pray for you, and then you're going to pray for one another, and then we'll see. Lord Jesus, I thank you for every single person in this place. And Lord, I just pray, God, that we would evaluate our own lives. We will look at our own tents and all the things that our life consists of, and we will ask ourselves, are you a priority? Is community a priority? Is my discipleship a priority? Is the discipleship of my family a priority? God, give us ears to hear what the Spirit is saying to each of us. Lord, may we not just be hearers of the word in this place, but may we be doers. In the name of Jesus, I pray all these things.